Welcome to episode 35 of Chimp Out Radio. I am your host, Mr. DJ Stupnik. This is a very special episode. It's part two of my GTFO tour 2010. That's right, I sold the Nig rental and got the fuck out of nigger-infested Michigan. I'm on the road. I got the Anna Pals with me. That's Barky, Sashi, Lucky, Tommy, and RC. That's three dogs and two cats, and we're in the 1989 Ford Danger Ranger, rusty but trusty, and we are traveling the highways of the United States of America, visiting chimpers, seeing sights, and looking for a nigger-free environment that I can start my life over in. So far, we visited Birdman in Pittsburgh, and we talked to Thin White Line in Tennessee, and we stopped and talked to Pooflinger in Missouri. And now, folks, it's my pleasure to let you know that I had the excellent good fortune of spending a couple days with none other than your pal and mine, founder of Chimp Out Radio, radio personality extraordinaire, internet celebrity, Nut Nice. Nut Nice and I hung out in the Fort Worth area, and we saw some really cool sights. Got to pet an actual longhorn steer down there in Texas at the Stockyards in Fort Worth, and saw some cool museums, talked to some locals, had a lot of fun, and we join the adventure now. Nut Nice and I are leaving the Stockyards, and we're getting into his car. Enjoy, chimpers. Wow, Nut Nice. I just paid our parking on the honor system there, and there were so many wadded up bills in those little slots right there. I'm surprised no niggers have come by here and taken those.
Well, they do once in a while, niggers and just drug addicts of whatever species. They come up to that box where you put your money in to pay for your parking, and they put their mouth up, their lips up to that slot where you put your bill in, and just suck the money out.
They suck the money out. That sounds like something a nigger would do. Like, you would say, hey, put your money where your mouth is, and...
Well, they do. And it's an easy way for a nigger to score, like, $5 for his latest fix of crack or whatever.
Well, then what we should do is we should, like, get a bunch of $1 bills and wipe our asses with them and stick them in the slot and watch a nigger come by.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of fun you could have with that.
Well, sure.
Or put Mexican pesos in there or something.
Well, they sell replicas of Confederate money in the gift shop.
Oh, yeah. Just put one of those in there.
Yeah, and the nigger would be like, wow, I got $20 and it's special. I got $100 bill and shit. You know what I'm saying?
And they'll try to spend it.
Well, yeah.
Believe me.
I'm sure they will. On crack. This is Confederate money. Give me some Confederate crack. If this money good and shit, just take it, man. Just give me drugs and shit. It's a 20.
The dealer would be like, nah, man, that's not real money. So, and this will go on for like an hour back and forth.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mention a nigger will give up and just try to get some real money.
Yeah.
Or maybe try to hold up a family dollar. We're actually about to pass one.
Yeah, we see there's a family dollar on the right up here.
There's quite a few of them around here. In this area, in this whole metro area, not just this neighborhood, but generally speaking, family dollar is a nigger institution.
Yes, it is.
All over this area. As you see, the windows are barred.
All the windows are barred. Everywhere, not just the family dollar, but even the tourist shops have bars on the windows.
Well, see, we are already pretty much left the Stockyard, so... This is, we've transitioned from touristy neighborhood to pretty much the ghetto.
Yeah.
In downtown Fort Worth in general, it's got some nice areas, but it's kind of spotty. Not really the kind of place you want to spend a bunch of time in.
Yeah. So which would you say is more nigger fixated, Dallas or Fort Worth?
Definitely Dallas.
Dallas is?
Definitely Dallas. So it's actually not bad. I complain about Fort Worth, but really, Dallas is a million times worse.
Fort Worth, so far, I have not seen very many niggers. Although we did see that nigger shining a cowboy's boots.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We need to see a lot more of that.
Yes, we do.
Nigger shining shoes and boots.
Yeah.
So at least he's making some money, apparently, legitimately, so I certainly can't have any problem with that.
Well, I saw the coon next to him was drunk off his ass, and what is it, like about 1 p.m.?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice him. I'm so used to seeing Dad that my guys just kind of glazed over him.
I saw him. He was standing there staggering, and it looked like he was going to vomit, and he was holding roses that he was selling to tourists.
Oh, the guy with the roses? I didn't even look at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever I send something like that around me, I don't even look in that direction.
Uh-huh.
It's like it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Yeah. Tune it out.
Oh, yeah. You got some things just to get by day to day and keep your sanity. It's
best, right,
to just, you know, just tune things out and just move on with your day.
That's right.
So now we're going to head to Main Street Barbecue.
Main Street Barbecue is rumored to be the best barbecue in the whole fucking world. We're going to find out in a minute. And now from 1927 is the Skillet Liquors with Run Nigger Run.
Back, chimpers, and we're having lunch here at a place called the Main Street Barbecue.
Okay, and they've got everything you can imagine here. They've got chicken, sausage, pulled pork. They've got fresh ribs and potato salad. It's all you can eat for $12, and I'm going to try this for the first time. Let's sample this chicken right here. It's wonderful. What is your favorite thing here? Not nice.
Definitely the brisket. Very good. You got to try it.
Being from the north, I've never actually had brisket before. And, I'm gonna give it a shot here. I think it's this. Is this it?
That's it.
That's it. Oh yeah.
And the pulled pork is very good too.
The brisket is kind of like roast beef, is what we call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's prepared a little differently.
Okay, we are in search of a Dollar General or a Family Dollar because I need to pick up a few things for the trip. And we pulled into this place and we noticed that not only is the Dollar General gone, but it's been replaced with something called the African Store.
Yeah, so, actually, the Dollar General was right there where it says for lease, that big space.
Maybe they moved out to get rid of all the Africans that were driving them nuts. Yeah, shoplifting. Well, the African store is probably filled with shit that they shoplifted from Dollar General.
Yeah, probably. We got inventory that has to come from somewhere.
And what do we have here? We got it sells rice, beans, yams, pounded yam, plantain, tilapia, goat meat. Wow. All kinds of nigger shit.
Well,
stuff I don't even know what clothes. Gele, lace, brocade,
yeah, so
caftan, Damask, Senegalese, Obu. Like,
I guess African clothing.
Ubu, well, how do you pronounce it? Aubao?
Don't ask me.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to go in there and see what's going on in the African store. Cool. Do you own the store?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if you could tell me, what is gari?
Gari is like a dough. You fix, you boil hot water.
Yeah.
And put it in a bowl.
Uh-huh.
And then fix it like a dough.
Like a dough. And then you fry it, or?
No.
No, you just eat it raw?
No. Like a donut, you know?
Like donuts.
Yeah. You mix it.
Yeah.
You don't like donut.
With eggs?
With soup.
No, you eat it with soup.
You eat it
but
soup.
But you bake it.
You don't bake it.
You eat it raw.
Raw.
Yeah. Raw.
It's not raw. It's already cooked.
Oh, it's already cooked.
You cook it.
Yeah.
And fry it. Already cooked. So what you do is just boil hot water.
Uh-huh.
And put it inside, make it like dough, and eat it with soup.
Do you eat it with lobster?
Lobster.
Lobster.
Yeah.
Ghetto lobster.
Lobster or fish.
Uh-huh.
Or like tilapia. Uh-huh. You just cook it like stew.
Right.
And eat it with your.
Okay.
You swallow it. You don't chew it.
You don't chew it. What happens if you chew it? You die?
No, you won't die. Some people chew. Maybe I like to swallow.
Yeah, you like to swallow. Yeah, I've heard that. But okay, and then over here you have something that's wrapped up in leaves. Can you tell us what these are?
That one is like, they call it shikanga.
Shikanga, and it's dog feces? Congolese?
Congolese feces.
And it's a
fetus?
Yeah,
it's made of fufu.
Fufu?
Yucca.
Mania. Oh, yucca. Okay.
No.
It's like a tuber.
Yeah.
It's so it's a plant.
Yeah, it's a plant.
It's a plant like
Robert plant.
Potato.
Yeah. Are you from Africa?
I'm from Nigeria.
Nigeria? Yeah. How long have you been in America?
8 years.
8 years. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's Nigeria like?
Nigeria is almost like America.
It's almost like America. Now wait a minute. How is Nigeria like America?
It's the same thing. To me, it's the same thing. I don't see any difference. We have a lot of food. Different varieties in Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's a good place, but it's kind of, some places are very rough.
Oh, yeah. Some Lagos, places.
Very rough.
Nepal's?
Legos Island.
Yeah, they build things at Legos Island, don't they? Yeah. This is where the Lego people come from.
It's very clean, very good, you know. I'm from River State, Port Harcourt. That place is oil.
Company. Oil.
They have oil company. So we are brought up.
So is there a lot of oil drilling there?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of oil drilling. Okay.
And it's very clean. My state in Nigeria is very, if you go there, you like it. That is where most of the white people, they are there.
Most of the white people are there? Yeah.
Very clean.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of enjoyment. If you anything you want to do, you can do. It's clean, very neat.
Yeah.
Very good area.
Do they have fresh? Do they have fresh jenkum there? Have you heard of jenkum? No, it's like
they have a lot of fresh fish.
Fish.
All kind of fish.
Well, yeah, because it's a port.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know what the jenkum.
Oh.
What is it like?
How would you describe jenkum?
It's like, I don't know,
some kind of
dish. Yeah, it's animal based. It's like a paste.
Yeah, we need to go, but thank you so much. What's your name?
My name is Jiba Jack.
Jiba, thank you, Jiba. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Have a nice day.
I'll be back Tuesday for plant things.
No problem.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, thank you.
You're listening to Chimp Out Radio with Birdman and DJ Stupnik. If you like what you hear and want to get more episodes, go to the forums of chimpout.com. Registration only takes a moment and it's free.
I'm in Not Nice's apartment here, and why don't you tell me a little bit about what we're looking at here?
Well, you know, it's your basic bachelor pad here. Got a TV, no flat screen yet. I'll probably wait till I move into a new place for Dad. Mm-hmm. So I've got a few old tapes here and CDs. Below the TV on the entertainment center, there's some Misfits, Black Sabbath,
And there's a
sublime.
A little terrier dog here that wants to say hi. What's your dog's name?
Oh, Tippy. Yeah, Tippy. He's a mess.
He's not a mess. He's a cute dog.
Yeah, he's very energetic.
Yeah, he is.
Bookshelf. Really a lot of lip-tarted books here. But that should be no secret. I mean, most of you are familiar with my political leanings. There's a lot of Noam Chomsky on here. George Orwell. There's also some Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
There's some comic book stuff. Howard Stern books.
Nice.
Mad Magazine. And, oh, this you probably won't see much anywhere else. It's a Spanish language edition of Mein Kampf.
Holy cow. Unbelievable.
And a few DVDs here. Not much. Mystery Science Theater, The Simpsons. Cheesy old movies. Three Stooges.
Great.
That's
quite a collection of wine corks you have here.
Yeah, I have, a flower pot, a big brandy glass, and part of a wine glass filled with corks from wine I've drank.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm into wine, and I like to save some of the more remarkable corks. So just in this brandy glass, for example, just growing five corks here at random, or four. Little Penguin, that's Australian wine.
Wow.
What is this? Grand Cru. Garcia Carrion from Spain, and we got San Genevieve, which is a Texas wine.
Oh.
Very cheap, but very good.
Yeah.
You can get it for about $5 a bottle here. Definitely recommend the red table. The red table wine is a blend, and if you can get the Cabernet, really any of them are excellent.
So really, you have every type of wine except for nigger wine.
Yeah, I don't do Ripple or Thunderbird or anything like that. I do real wines.
That's a shame.
I know, a quick shout out to Johnny Jenkins. I know he's a huge fan of wine as well. He actually knows much more about wine than I do. I'm sure you get a kick out of looking at some of my cork collection here.
Cork collection.
This one is a good one. Maddie's Perch. This is cheap Australian white wine.
Okay.
It's got a little koala on it. Says, good on ya.
Good on ya, mate.
Yeah. Good on ya. You'll
good
love
on
it.
Ya.
So, yeah, that's kind of...
That's not a cork.
Yeah. So, you see there's some novelty value here.
Yeah. And then I see we have a painting of the Twin... Is that the Twin Towers?
That's the Twin Towers. Yeah. Like to dabble in painting. I'm obviously not a professional, but I cracked that out over a couple of days. Some watercolors and
it's beautiful.
Well, thanks.
And this was after the attacks of 9/11.
Well, yeah, this was like last year when I painted that.
Okay, and what inspired it?
I just wanted to paint something, and I love New York City,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still pissed off about the Twin Towers being gone all these years later.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be a nice little tribute and a way for me to remember New York City in a good way.
Were you living in New York in 2001?
I wasn't. I'd moved out about 6 months earlier.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Good timing there.
Yeah, definitely.
But let's see. And here's another one. This is just, I call this one the orange.
And it's a kind of an abstract work. This is acrylic?
It's just watercolors.
It's just watercolors.
A five-year-old could have painted this, obviously, but that's the level I'm at. But it's just about being, it's a therapeutic thing mm-hmm. that I like to do. Anyway, that's my boy there. That's, picture's a few years old.
Okay, that's a very good looking young man. How old is he?
Well, he's 10 now.
He's 10.
He's a great kid. Anyway, stack of magazines here. Puerto Rican comic books. A couple of my friends from back home are comic book artists.
Oh, that's great.
Some old fanzines, anarchist pamphlet, political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Wine Spectator, got about a year's worth here, maybe.
Yeah.
Mostly bathroom reading. Wine Country this week. Esquire magazine, I subscribed to it because my son had a fundraiser for school, so...
Oh, that is nice.
And a bunch of old Mad magazines.
Mad magazine, I love Mad.
So anyway,
so which is better, Mad or Cracked?
Well, Mad, definitely.
Definitely, no question about it.
I thought these days it's already Madder, but back in the day, Mad was the shit.
Of course.
So, little kitchen here, not much to it. The usual crap, some pictures,
magnets. You have a magnet that says, "I'm not a Republican."
Yeah.
You pretty much have to tell people that down in Texas, don't you?
Yeah, they gotta be able to tell somehow. And plus, with me hating niggers, it gets extra confusing.
Right.
So I have to specify, well, folks, I'm not a Republican, although we certainly agree on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another sticker here. Jesus rocks.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus playing a guitar.
Yeah, he's rocking out on the guitar.
So he's literally rocking. And this is actually magnetic.
Yeah.
So it's, I like the portability there.
Well, sure, sure.
And I got, well, here a spare PC I'm working on.
Okay.
A little ongoing project. Bathroom. Here I have a small collection of racist propaganda.
Okay.
Collected over the years. It's mostly old newspapers, pamphlets. And other non-racist stuff, quote-unquote racist. It's not really racist, it's just really...
Oh my gosh.
The truth at last.
The truth at last.
For 1996, I believe.
And this
Clinton
is...
has a Negro son, is the headline. And it's a picture of a nigger kid that looks kind of like Bill Clinton.
It does look like Bill Clinton.
So, Bill Clinton, here's at least one of his nigger sons.
Wow. Right
here in this paper. This paper used to be published by Dr. Ed Fields. Was very active in the 60s during the civil rights chimp outs.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd been publishing this for decades since then. I don't think it's out anymore.
No.
So a bit of a collector's item, I guess.
And that's from where did that come out? That's local here? Or?
Oh, no. This is from publishing Atlanta area, I think.
Okay.
This is from all over the country. The New Order, this is from Nebraska, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think they're defunct. The Courier. Magazine of the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
Commie newspaper. National Vanguard.
Yeah.
National Vanguard was an excellent magazine.
Is that still around? Or?
Oh, no. No. National Alliance kind of hit us some rough times, what I heard.
See.
Truth of Last here. Another wonderful headline from this anti-nigger newspaper.
It says, Living Baby Ripped from Woman's Womb.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it says interracial sex and welfare led to living baby ripped from woman's womb.
And really, how much has changed since 1996 when this came out?
Apparently nothing. I thought that was today's paper.
Here's a novelty. It's a Spanish language Nazi paper.
Wow.
Published in Nebraska, but made for the European market.
I see.
For Spain and ostensibly for Mexico, Argentina,
wow,
etc. Here's a newspaper of the Communist Party of the United States.
Wow.
I got this edition in my collection specifically because there's a Puerto Rican flag right on the cover.
Whoa.
Puerto Rican pride.
Is there a large communist movement in Puerto Rico? Or?
There isn't. So when I saw this, I thought, there's a Communist Party newspaper with a Puerto Rican flag right on it.
Very strange.
I have to get this.
Right.
Because I'm not going to see this every day.
You're not going to see that ever, probably.
No, probably never again, hopefully. I don't want my flag on the Communist Party newspaper.
Right.
World Socialist Review. Here's an old Libertarian Party newspaper from back when I was a member. And look what it says here. Paul elected to Congress. 1996.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look how young he looks.
Yeah, Ron Paul. Younger Ron Paul.
A young Ron Paul. Wow.
So I have that. What is this? Revolutionary Worker. Some pamphlet about something.
Something.
I might need this. I think this might be from C.T. Wolfe's collection. I got it in here accidentally. That's a little joke.
Yeah.
The first and probably last ever Libertarian Party of Puerto Rico newsletter. I actually helped found.
Did you?
The Libertarian Party of Puerto Rico.
Good
didn't
for
last.
You.
That was our chairman.
Sir,
Mr. What's his name?
Yeah, that guy.
Socialist Worker.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. A Nazi pamphlet. Plan paper. More truth at last. These were always good. And I don't think we got much else. We got war.
Oh, the white Aryan resistance, yeah.
With one of the very well-known cartoons there from well-known cartoonists who many of us think is cartoons and we use them as avatars.
Mm-hmm.
Union paper and, of course, The Onion.
Yes, The
from
Onion.
From my birthday week from a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I just like The Onion, I guess.
That's a great headline. It says, Earthquake sets Japan back to the year 2147.
Yeah, that's a funny article.
Yeah.
You're listening to Chimp Out Radio!
Hi, this is Stinky Nigs, and you're listening to the best nigger bashing show on the radio.
But, why is it that this certain group of people seems to end up on all these shows, like Cops and Maury Povich and all the judge shows? and Cops and 48 Hours and America's Most Wanted. And, well, really, any pretty much any show that has to do with crime or anything that's fucked up in some way, they're all over it.
Well, you know, I remember in the 70s, niggers were always whining that they weren't being represented fairly with equal time in TV. So, there you go.
Oh, they're definitely representing now. They have definitely their niche. All the crime shows, all the tacky talk shows like Maury or Jerry Springer style. Very overrepresented in those, if anything. However, they still seem to be awfully underrepresented in shows like, say, Deadliest Catch or, you know, what is the other one? The ice fishing one, Ice Road Truckers.
Yeah.
Dirty Jobs. Any show where there's people, like, doing hard work, like, important work.
Or, that matter, any show with the word job in it.
Oh, yeah. Any show with the word job, you're probably not going to see any niggers on there.
No.
You know, if anything, there might be niggers on there by mistake because they think the job refers to blow job.
That's true. Yeah.
Not on purpose. They're not going to be there on purpose. I mean, there may be a token here and there.
Yeah.
They'll throw one in usually, but they never do anything. So, but any shows about science, anything that doesn't involve singing and dancing, really, or just...
Or a lot of profanity and killing.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, there's, of course, nigger comedy.
Nigger comedy is terrible, but you ever notice that there's always, like, some nigger dressed up like a shibun and they think that's funny?
Oh, yeah. They love this stuff. And really, with nigger comedy and comedians, it's there's some very clear patterns. There's, of course, cross-dressing.
Yep.
There's making fun of Whitey because Whitey is lame and square and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, black people drive like this. You know,
right.
And white people drive like this. So they've beaten that horse to death.
True.
And what else? Of course... Just endless profanity. I mean, I remember I've seen an episode or two of Def Comedy Jam. I don't know if they still have that, but back in the day they have it on HBO. When you turn it on, it's just some nigger going, "Fuck pussy shit, motherfucking ass shit, fuck." and these are supposed to be jokes.
Hey, they've got a comedy club or two here in Dallas. You know what we should do is we should go to amateur night tomorrow night and just get up there and go, "Fuck damn pussy ass shit, motherfucking bitch, get right."
We have to do it in blackface, otherwise no one's going to be able to understand what we're doing.
That's true.
They'll be like, "Hey, there's a couple of guys there up on stage just uttering profanities. What the hell's going on?" But if we come out in blackface, they'll be like, "Oh, it's a black comedian."
Right.
"Oh, I see. Ha ha, that's hilarious. That's the next Chris Rock." But if I come out just like I am, they'll be like, "Oh,
He's a drunk. Get him off the stage."
Yeah, this is terrible. This isn't
this
funny.
This is a comedy.
Yeah, it's just some guy up there cursing. What the fuck?
Yeah. So, we'll get you in blackface, and then to get you motivated to curse a lot, I'll just show you pictures of niggers. And you'll go, "Damn, fuck, bitch, cock."
No, that's okay. Being in blackface alone will do it.
That would, yes. I'll show you a mirror, and you'll see yourself as a nigger and go, "Shit, cock, damn."
Well, guys, we haven't done love letters in a while, so we thought we would bring it back, and we got quite a few good ones. And the first one comes to us by somebody who signed into the guest forum under the name Young Scottish Guy.
Okay.
And it reads as such, "I'm sorry, but you people are a bunch of vile racist scumbags. Do you really think you're so intelligent by coming on to this pathetic excuse for a forum and just typing a bunch of ignorant racist slurs? This is pathetic. Just goes to show how mankind has progressed. Twats."
Twats. Yeah. You know, it's funny because they always try to sound really intelligent and not resort to name-calling, but they always have to call us a name. I think it's the first time I've been called a twat on this forum, though.
People from the UK tend to call people twats, I guess.
Yeah.
But the next one comes to us from unregistered guest, and the title is, "Wow, how sad." Hello, all. Guess what I am? Well, never mind the lack of punctuation here.
Right.
It's really hard to read.
It's hard to read these things.
Hello, all. Guess what I am? A well-educated, accomplished black woman.
So we know you're lying right off the bat. There's no such thing. Wait, an accomplished black woman, what does that mean? Like, she's got, like, 8 kids on welfare instead of 7, or what?
Well, you know, the lack of punctuation really sets the standard here. And well, she goes on to say, it is really sad that you all feel this way. You are all niggers by definition. It is amazing how there are no black racist sites like this one. Bullshit.
Wrong.
Have you ever been to Black Planet? Have you ever been to Lipstick Alley, you dumb shiboom? Anyways, well-educated whites get a life. Well-uneducated whiteys get a life and eat me. I wouldn't eat her if she was the last thing on Earth.
Well, you got to remember that all niggers are cannibals, so maybe she was, like, offering her body for digestion.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we should make a phone call to Big Lurch over in the country.
Say, guess what? We got an accomplished, well-educated black woman who doesn't understand punctuation. She wants you to eat her. So we're going to send her over with, like, some parsley.
Yeah, he's been in prison since 2002, so he's probably pretty hungry by now.
I would think so. He's like, there ain't no fresh meat in this hell prison.
Just a bunch of jelly and assholes.
Jelly or honey? You got your choice.
It doesn't matter. And this last one, this last love letter tonight, comes to us from another unregistered guest. And the punctuation and typing is even worse. It's titled WTF. Fuck all you white pieces of shit with nothing better to do but talk shit and hate on black people. You're the scum of this earth, and you're is spelled Y-O-U-R.
Of course.
You little dick fags, and I'm pretty sure... I'm pretty sure none of y'all would nigger to any black person, because you know you'll get your ass whooped.
Right. I say that to niggers, like, every day.
It's funny how motherfuckers like you all think you're better or better than someone, but at shit your damn self.
At that was shit really your hard damn to read, self.
But it does have a few nigger trademarks here. One, he called us little dick fags.
Yeah.
Two, he threatened violence on us.
Yeah.
And he had to mention my dick, so... There's a couple typical landmarks in there that he left for us, and that, ladies and gentlemen, were tonight's love letters. Love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter, love letter.
Time for Nigs in the News, and Birdman, I know you got a news story for us this week.
Yeah, on Chimp Out Radio, we have a long history of documenting really long jail sentences for niggers, and this one is no different. Nigger gets 330-year scholarship to nigger college. I guess he will be working on his PhD.
Wow, 330 years.
Yes, indeed.
What on earth did he do? What didn't he do?
This comes to us from Sickle Cell posting this, and from the DallasNews.com website. Another bank robber from North Texas gang known as the Scarecrow Scarecrow Bandits was sentenced today, this one to 330 years in federal prison. U.S. District Judge Jane Boyle imposed the sentence on Jarvis Dupree Ross.
Jarvis.
My mammy named me after a venereal disease, you know what I'm saying?
Jarvis.
My mammy got the Jarvis.
Jarvis. So Jarvis was destined from birth to be in Nigger College because he had such a stupid name. But what happened?
Ross was one of seven monkeys who were convicted or who pleaded guilty in connection with a string of bank jobs in the greater Dallas area in the first half of 2008. They became known as the Scarecrow Bandits because they would wear loose shirts and floppy hats during some of the robberies, which that kind of doesn't make sense to me because all niggers wear loose shirts and floppy hats, so...
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense, but in all, the bandits were believed to have hit 21 banks before they were caught in...
How the hell did that happen? 21 banks?
That's unbelievable.
Dressed up like a scarecrow, and nobody caught on?
I guess because, you know, all niggers look the same to most people, so maybe that is what helped them get along, but... It goes on to say four of them have been sentenced. One, Yolanda McDowell, got 15 years and 10 months after striking a deal with prosecutors and agreeing to testify against her accomplices. The other three, Ross Corey Dayton Duffy, 29, and Antonio Reese, 32, got sentences that were tantamount to life in prison. Three of the Scarecrow Bandits await sentencing. Derobi Kente Stenline, 31, is scheduled to be sentenced on March 4th. Tony R. Hewitt, 43.
What?
Sentenced on, yeah, that sounds like a human. Who knows? But is scheduled on March 18th. And Charles Runnels, 43, is scheduled on April 15th. So.
And this was here in Dallas. Not nice. Did you hear anything about this? Or is this the sort of thing that happens every day?
Oh, yeah. The famous Scarecrow Bandits. Yeah, I'd heard about them on the news. It was a pretty big story. I didn't pay much attention to it because it just sounded to me like typical TNB. I mean, niggers in baggy clothes robbing banks? Wow, that's a shocker. So yeah, it kind of flew under the radar for me personally. But I'm glad these boons are apparently off the streets now. So.
But they were calling them the Scarecrow Bandits the whole time they were out there robbing these banks? Or?
As far as I can tell, yeah.
Wow.
My hat's off to U.S. District Judge Jane Boyle for imposing this 330-year scholarship. It's very well-deserved. I mean, an overachiever for a nigger if I ever heard one.
His mammy is so proud of Jarvis.
That boy Jarvis, he done got 330 years.
Jarvis.
Dressed up like a scarecrow.
Man, he's gonna be learning a lot in Nigger College.
He's so creative and shit.
Yeah, I'm sure the other boons in there will get real creative with this asshole real soon.
Maybe they'll lock him up with Big Lunch. I ain't never had no scarecrow for dinner. All good things must come to an end, so I said goodbye to my new friend Nut Nice, and I hit the road. My next destination? Roswell, New Mexico. But, in the meantime, something really cool happened on the road. Alright, Chimpers, it's about 6 o'clock at night, and the sun is going down, but what's really amazing about this part of southwestern Texas that I'm in is that it's just flat, flat territory, and so I can see all the way to the horizon, north, south, east, and west of me. That's 50 miles. So when I look up, there's this huge rain cloud. It's going to turn to snow later tonight, but right now it's just this big, enormous, 100-mile-wide black cloud above me. And yet I can see far enough. I can see all the way into New Mexico, and the sun is shining there. It's like I can see the outline of this entire enormous rain cloud, this whole section of the county that's getting rain. And yet, I can see all the way to the next state, and the sun is shining through, and it's setting there, and it's orange, and it's beautiful. I'm telling you,
this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I've never had this much wide open space above me. And I'm hoping that tomorrow night, when I'm in the desert of New Mexico, there will not be a cloud at all, and I can look up and hopefully see stars like I've never seen them in my life. All right, Chimpers, just wanted to share this moment with you. I love you guys, and I'll check back in with you in just a minute. Back to the show.
You're listening to Chimp Out Radio!
This is Miss Ann, and you're listening to Birdman and DJ on Chimp Out Radio.
Back with us tonight, we have with us Galaglai joining us. How are you doing tonight, Galaglai?
Doing pretty good, guys.
Awesome. And he's going to be reading our top 10 list. And, Bird, what is the topic for this week's top 10?
Top 10 things found in a Sheboon's weave.
Only 10, huh?
Only 10. I mean, we had to narrow it down quite a bit.
Well, yeah.
We could be here all night with a full list.
You know, if you use your imagination, you can pretty much find anything.
It's only a one-hour show, so we had to really cut this one down. But, Galaglai, what is the number 10 thing found in a Sheboon's weave?
Number 10 would be lice, ticks, and mice.
Number 9.
Number 9 is bullets.
Bullets. Number 8.
Number 8 is their last shreds of dignity. Well, that's tiny. That's really small. You have to get a microscope for that.
It's probably hiding underneath the lice. So small.
The lice are making little African shacks out of the pieces of this.
Of dignity. Okay, number 7.
Dandruff and dust mites.
Oh. Number 6.
All that is wrong.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's a list on its own.
Yeah.
Is there anything right that's in a Sheboon's hair weave?
Bullets.
Yeah, that's true.
Bullets, yeah, they could use them.
Some of them have those things lacquered so thick with the hairspray, probably stop at 357. Are you kidding?
Wasn't there a story on the forums about half a year ago about a woman that had like a hair weave stopped a bullet? Do you remember that?
It. I think I remember that one.
I'm going to find it. We should do that one.
Got my Teflon weave, you know what I'm saying?
Number 5.
Stolen items from Family Dollar. That's high price shopping, you know what I'm saying? They got the good stuff.
Number 4.
Your credit cards.
I was looking for those.
Yeah, where did they go?
Would you want them back? Like, if you found your stolen credit cards in some Sheboon's hair weave, would you really want to reach in there and get them?
Well, the first thing you need to buy with them would be, like, a couple gallons of bleach.
Yeah.
Just call the credit card company and say, you know what, just send me a new card.
Number 3.
A few of its own fake fingernails.
Number 2.
Enough grease to service a small car.
Yeah. There's a whole lube job up in that weave.
We haven't heard of a Sheboon named lube already. What's your name, baby?
Oh, my name is Lubashonda Jackson.
Lubashonda Jackson.
And the number one thing found in a Sheboon's weave is?
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy Hoffa.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor Jimmy. This just in, they finally found Jimmy Hoffa's remains in a Sheboon named Tyronda Jones.
I've seen a few weaves that big.
Yeah, they really can get pretty big. You know, pretty big and extravagant. I mean, it takes half of your welfare check just to do it.
One of the strangest Sheboon hairstyles I've ever seen was one I saw back around 1992. This Sheboon had the front half of her hair spiked. I mean, like Billy Idol spiked. And the back of it was this massive afro the size of Jupiter.
Yeah. The hell is that?
The effects of PCP, I think.
What's it called, a spike fro?
It's kind of like a nigger porcupine.
Oh, man.
It's like a nigger mullet. A nigget. A mole-nig.
Mole-nig.
A mullet.
A nigger mullet.
Do something about your long, filthy hair. It looks like a rat's nest. Do something about your mullet. Get out the hair clippers, jerk. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Get the rat's nest off your head. Get that crazy ass mullet off your skull. Take your ass to the barber shop. Tell the barber that you're sick of looking like an asshole. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. The mullet is the reason why people hate you. They are sick of looking at your nappy wheat sack. Nobody wants to look at you with that mullet on your head. Why don't you cut that mullet, you numbskull?
Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet. Cut the mullet.
Rocko in London, Rocko in Chicago. Insure what? It's the insurance superstore.
All right, Chimpers, I actually wound up stopping at a hotel just south of the New Mexico border, and it rained lightly. Right now, I am looking at the most beautiful rainbow. I took a picture of it I've ever seen in my life. I've never in my entire life seen an entire rainbow unobstructed from one side to the other. This thing arcs probably 75 miles from one point to the other, and I can see the entire thing. In fact, it's so big, I can't even actually look at all of it without turning my head to see one half and then the other. Just really incredible. I took a picture. I wish you guys were here to share this with me. What a positive omen. I feel good, and I'm going to keep on trudging north. I'll check back in with you guys after this.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All I got to do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yay? Yeah! Yeah!
Guys, I'm at a hotel room, and money's getting a little bit tight this far into the trip, so I'm trying to save money, and I decided instead of going out to eat, I'm going to eat food in the hotel room, and all I have with me are some pickled quail eggs I got in Louisiana. They're candied hot sauce, and in case they're really gross or if I can't handle it, I've got some orange Fanta to wash it down, and as a backup, I've got a box of blueberry Pop-Tarts. So, I don't have any silverware, so I'm just going to reach my hand in here and try these quail eggs. They're about one-third the size of chicken eggs, and this hot sauce that they're in is real watery. It's like a Tabasco kind of thing. So, here we go. That's not bad. It's not bad at all. Who needs Pop-Tarts? I've got pickled quail's eggs.
Hey, we're on the road again!
I'm here in Pecos, Texas at the world's first rodeo.
It was held a block south of Pecos County Courthouse, which is not far from where I'm standing right now, on July 4th, 1883. And it started with claims of cattle outfits that each claimed that they had the fastest steer ropers. And settlers in town for the 4th of July picnic were spectators. And the prizes were blue ribbons cut by pocket knife from the new dress of a 4-year-old girl in the crowd. And that's where we get blue ribbons for first place. I'll check back in with you guys when I get to Roswell.
You know, the first time I traveled off in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. You know, the first time I traveled off in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. I didn't have no pharaoh, not even no place to go. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. She said, Lord, have mercy on my wicked son.
Okay, I'm at the UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico, and it says here, the first few days of July 1947 would forever change the lives of those in the small town of Roswell, New Mexico. Yeah, it'll give them a source of $5 a pop for every jerk like me that comes through town. I'll tell you, this museum is not what I expected. It's a little bit, let's say, underwhelming. It's in what was once a movie theater. I would say built in the 40s, and they have quite a few pictures and things on display, but so far I have yet to see anything, you know, that I haven't already seen on the internet, but I'll take pictures and post them on the site. Okay, we have here a clock, a very gaudy homemade clock on the wall, and the description of it is, this clock was donated to the International UFO Museum and Research Center by Judge Bud Payne, William Brazel, and Donald R. Schmidt. A collector's item decorated with trinitite atomic glass from the world's first A-bomb site. This clock also includes a rattlesnake rattle, rattlesnake ribs, turquoise, and a horseshoe. I don't know what that's got to do with UFOs, but it's here. And here we have a display of the Roswell Incident I-beam and its symbols of unknown origin. I took a picture of this for you to look at. Basically, they've got some replica stuff behind some glass, and it looks like something maybe came off a Jiffy Pop container. Anyway. There is a display here where you can touch different buttons and have lights on the map of the world light up to show different things. And there's one that you can touch to see all the spots where there were recovery sites, one to touch to see all the spots where there were abductions, and so forth. And there's one here, you touch this button and things light up, and it tells you where physical evidence is left behind. And one of the things that lights up is Detroit, Michigan. And it says, physical evidence is left behind. The encounters include details of interaction between the UFO and the environment, which may vary from interference, get this, interference with car ignition systems, like hot wiring, and electronic gear, like your stereo's gone, to imprints or burns on the ground, arson, and physical effects on plants, animals, and humans, like nigger stench. So I think what they think is aliens is actually the North American pavement ape. It's just my theory. Okay, guys, I am now in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, I just got into town. It's about 11 o'clock at night. There's something I've wanted to do ever since I was a kid. And I think you know what I'm getting at here. If you've ever watched the old Looney Tunes Bugs Bunny cartoons, okay? You know that Bugs Bunny always took a left turn at Albuquerque. Well, I'm actually in Albuquerque. And, okay, I got the turn signal on. I'm at a red light. And in a second here, I'm going to make a left turn at Albuquerque.
Mm. Say, you know, I knew I should have made a left turn at Albuquerque. Don't look much like Los Angeles to me. I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque. Well, here I am. Hey, just a cotton-picking minute. This don't look like the Coachella Valley to me. I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque. Let's see now. South Pole? Oh, I get it. I should have turned left at Albuquerque. Well, here we are, Pismo Beach and all the clams we can eat. What a way for a Dutch to travel. Underground. Hey, wait a minute. Since when is Pismo Beach inside a cave? I wonder, you know, I just bet we should have turned left at Albuquerque. And then maybe a right turn at La Jolla.
And while we're waiting for the light to turn, just want to remind you guys to listen to the Nut and I Show every chance you get. It's coming out about every 2 or 3 weeks. And he's going to have a rotating guest on there. He's doing a fantastic job, and we all welcome Nut Nice back to the radio. And, okay, here we go. Here we go. Making a left turn at Albuquerque. Bugs Bunny would be proud. And there we go.
We're gonna do the monkey. Well, that's it for this episode, Chimpers. Thanks for joining me on this magnificent journey, but it's not over yet. This is only part two. Part three will involve a whole lot of chimp out celebrities. I'm not going to list who they are, and I'm not going to tell you what part of the country I'm going to next, but I promise you it's going to be a lot of fun. Special thanks to Nut Nice for putting up with me for a couple days and showing me a fantastic time in Dallas-Fort Worth. And for having me on the Nut Nice Show. And special thanks also to Galaglai for doing the top 10 this week. Also like to thank all the trustees, moderators, and administrators of the forums of chimpout.com for their submissions to this week's top 10 list. I'd also like to thank Birdman for joining us via Skype so we can continue the show on the road. If you're listening to Chimp Out Radio for the first time and would like to get more episodes, you can go to chimpoutradio.com and you can listen to or download the entire archive of every show ever posted. More episodes are also available on the forums of chimpout.com, or you can visit us and actually watch video of most of the shows at chimptube.tv. If you haven't been to chimptube.tv, check it out. It's a video hosting site. It's free. You can post pretty much anything. I also like to say thanks to all you chimpers for hanging in there and listening to Old Stoop. Be proud of yourselves and don't take any shit from any niggers. The Tiger.